day.
You are Locked On 76ers, your daily Philadelphia 76ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome to Locked On 76ers. I'm your host, Keith Pompey. I want to talk to y'all today about last night's game. The Sixers defeated the Detroit Pistons 116-102 Monday night at Wells Fargo Center. You know, a couple of things stood out to me. You know, Joel Embiid, he played, you know, Jimmy Butler got injured in that game, and we'll talk about that. But I want to talk about Joel Embiid, how once Butler went out, he looked a whole lot better because he went back down on a low block. I want to talk about Jimmy, and I want to talk about that in the first segment. The second segment, I want to talk about Jimmy Butler's injury. He had a strain, he had a groin strain. The Sixers are going to give him some tests today. They're going to examine it, and then they'll have a better idea of how long he'll be out. And thirdly, I want to talk about, I don't know, it's kind of weird. Like, it just seemed like the Sixers, I understand that, you know, they want to keep stuff in-house and they want to do stuff. But when you have your coach after the game, Brett Brown, saying he knows nothing about Jimmy Butler's injury, when Jimmy Butler was injured in the first quarter, and it's post-game, you were asking about updates, and they don't have anything. And I spoke to my coaches. It's just bad optics. I mean, because the thing is, I mean, there's two things. Either he doesn't know, which is bad, or he's just not saying it. And if you don't just don't want to say it, then just say, hey, look, right now we don't really have comment until we get some further further tests. We'll have one today, and then we'll let you guys know at a later date. Because when you come out and a guy gets injured in the first quarter, you know you're briefed. The trainer comes and whispers something to you in your ear while the game is going on. In halftime, someone's giving you an update, and then after the game, someone's giving an update. I mean, it just doesn't, I don't know, look good when you say you don't know. Like, either you don't know, if you really, I mean, my thing is, if you really don't know, that's a serious problem. It is. Like, it's a major problem that the coach doesn't know what's going on. But, hey, before we get into this podcast, I want to let you guys know this is a podcast that you guys could come to every day, 5 days a week, and I'll give you the straight-up truth on what's going on. You know, I don't try not to sugarcoat anything. I just try to keep it real. But this is where you come. But listen, so we all know about, you know, Joel Embiid's frustration about his new role since Jimmy Butler joined the team. Now, I'm not going to keep saying this over and over again, but this is last time. It's nothing to do with Jimmy. It has something to do with his role. The fact that Embiid is now a stretch five. And, you know, he made his comments so about that on Friday, a game he didn't play. So, of course, all eyes were on Embiid this game to see what he would do and how he would react. Well, in the first quarter, he went back to being a stretch five, and he didn't look well. He looked like he wasn't into it. Now, again, they were saying that he had, he said he had diarrhea, sorry for them being blunt, and he also said that he had migraine headaches, right? So that could have had something to do with it. It could have. But he just looked blah in the first quarter. Embiid said he was rusty, which is kind of hard to believe a guy is rusty when he only missed one game, and that was on Friday. Now, I don't know if He was in the bed all day Saturday and all day Sunday, but he said he was rusty. And whereas it just looked like he was not put in the right position, spots on the floor to dominate, to excel. Now, he would crash the boards on certain times, running in there trying to get rebounds. But for the most part, he just didn't look himself. Once Jimmy Butler suffered his injury in the first quarter and won out the game, then all of a sudden, he started going down on the block. Well, Embiid ended up with 24 points, team high 24 points, to go with 8 rebounds. He had 2 blocks, and he had 2 steals, right? So in the first quarter, he shot 3, he had 3 points. He was 1-for-3 shooting, 1-for-2 on 3-pointers. He had 2 rebounds, assists, and a turnover, right? In 8 minutes and 5 seconds, right? So, I'm saying this to say that, you know, you can say rusty, but he just didn't look himself. Now, my thing is, and what I mean didn't look himself, I'm talking about he just didn't look as aggressive being out there. It was like he was settling for, you know, for like long range shots. He shot 2 3-pointers. He just didn't look fluid. When Jimmy Butler went out of the game and got injured, Joel went on a block and he looked like the same guy. Now again, as I said in yesterday's podcast, it's obvious that it's not anything to do with Jimmy Butler. But it's more so that when he's in the perimeter, all his touches go to Ben Simmons on the block, who Simmons was 5-for-5 in the first quarter and had 11 points. And Simmons was straight beasting people, right? So, and all of a sudden, Joel goes from, like right now, he goes from being the focal point to a spacer, to someone that's helping Simmons get off. But he's not getting off, right? So now everything is great after the game because he got ended up getting his 24 points. The crowd chanted MVP. He did whatever. It was back to the normal days before Jimmy Butler came and Joel could just dominate. Because, you know what? Joel got his, Ben got his, both of the guys stayed happy. Now, the one thing is, after the game that got me is that how, you know, Joel was basically making it seem like he wasn't frustrated. He was making it seem like he was upset. He wasn't frustrated over his new role. He tried to walk that back. He wanted to say more of his frustration had to do with the way he was playing, right? Now, the thing is, you know, he wasn't saying that the first day, like early on in the day. But then after the first game, after people contacted him on the team, he changed the story a little bit, right? So now he keeps going with that story. So let's just say Jimmy Butler is out for 4 weeks. And everything's going to be great. What's going to happen when after Jimmy Butler comes back? And then Embiid has to go back to being a stretch five. Is he going to say the same stuff? You know, so my thing is, you said it beforehand. Live by it. If you want the ball on the block, then you get on block. Now, I know it comes across as you being selfish, and that's the one thing you don't want. I know that he's concerned about his image, and he doesn't want the fans and stuff like that coming down on him, the fans who love him. But at the end of the day, if you're upset about getting the ball where you want the ball at and you already let the team know it, You know what I mean? Don't take it back. You know, don't take it back. Make it to where somebody got to work something out for you. You know, because all three of y'all need to eat. Now, the problem, and this is something else I said yesterday, they got to figure out that someone's going to take a hit. Someone. And someone has to be like the Chris Bosh of the group when the Miami Heat had Chris Bosh, D-Wade, and LeBron. Now, it's weird when you think of it for Embiid to be the Chris Bosh of the group because he's the best player of the three. But what I'm saying is someone has to take the hit. And I'm telling you, as long as Embiid keeps going along with all this stuff saying, hey, I also was frustrated with myself. I was also this. I was also that. Nah, bruh. What you said was, I can understand that a little bit. But nah, bruh. When you first talked, that was your truth. And now what's going to happen is you're going to go back to living the way you used to live. And then once Jimmy comes back, you're going to go back to being a stretch five and you're going to pop off again. Right? So, you know, I just don't understand it. I mean, I see where the Sixers want to do damage control. But look, I don't think playing it and trying to get away from it and this and that is going to do it. I think it just needs, the situation needs to be rectified one way or the other. Because I'm telling you, the way he looked in that first quarter. Now, again, he might have been sick. But the way he looked in that first quarter, it was like he wasn't really involved in the game plan, so to speak. But once that second quarter came on, he went back to being Joel, I'm an MVP candidate. So that's something the Sixers need to work out. All right, y'all. So like in the second segment, we're gonna talk about Jimmy Butler's injury. Now, to me, you know, depending on how long Jimmy Butler is out, this could kind of set the Sixers back a little bit. I mean, you know, you look at it, you know, with these sprains, again, the Sixers are going to examine them today. But with these sprains, I mean, guys could be out he could be out a few weeks if it's a mild sprain. If it's a severe one, he could be out at least 6 weeks. So there's nothing to play with. Now, the reason why is, well, first of all, Jimmy Butler is the team's closer. You know, in close games, he's the only guy who can basically get off his own shot, create his own shot, right? You know, it got to a point is that, yes, Embiid is the best player on the team. But Jimmy is the best closer on the team, the only closer on the team, really. So what they do is they spread the floor and they let my man Jimmy Butler go to work. You know, the problem with Ben Simmons is right now, you know, he could get to the rim, but when you don't shoot the ball, everyone denies you opportunity to get to the rim. The thing with Embiid on the block, they double and triple team him. And there's a turnover waiting to happen. But Jimmy, he doesn't rush anything. He dribbles. He'll look for his shot, or he'll also look for others, and they run the offense through him, right? So, you know, I mean, think about it. We talked about how the 76ers went out there and gave up two starters for this guy. So if you don't have Jimmy Butler in the lineup, you're basically losing two starters. And I mean it. I mean, some people say, what are you talking about? No, I'm talking about you don't have Jimmy Butler. You don't have Cove. You don't have Dario. Robert Covington and Dario Saric. But you're basically undermanned, and it's like your team is worse than it was before you made the trade because you don't have those two starters. And if you look at it, you know, the Sixers, their next game Wednesday night is going to be against Brooklyn. So you may say to yourself, okay, maybe they can beat Brooklyn. It's only Brooklyn. Okay. Remember, Jimmy Butler had a last-second three-pointer to lift the Sixers over Brooklyn. Before that, the Sixers lost to Brooklyn. Okay. So then on Friday, they go up against the Indiana Pacers. Okay, the Sixers beat the Pacers this year. But yeah, they beat them with Cove and Dario. All right? No Jimmy Butler problem. Cleveland, they should be able to beat Cleveland. The Cavs did beat the Sixers, but you think they would be able to beat the Cavs on Sunday. Then on next Monday, they have San Antonio. Then on December the 19th, they play the New York Knicks. Now, this is after that, it gets crazy. So December the 22nd, they play the Toronto Raptors at home. And then they embark on a 5-game road trip. On December 25th, they're at Boston. December 27th, they're at Utah. December 30th, at Portland. January 1st, the LA Clippers. And January 2nd, they're going to be at the Phoenix Suns. Now, that's a tough stretch without Jimmy Butler. So we'll find out, hopefully soon, how long he'll be out. And for the Sixers case, they better hope it's a mild sprain. Now, I heard that he wasn't walking gingerly or anything like that yesterday, so that could be a good sign after the game. However, stuff could get real, man, because like I said, you don't have Cove and Dario to depend on, and the guy that you traded them for is injured. I mean, heck, Bayless is even healthy now. You don't even have a guy like that. I mean, I know Bayless barely got off of Brett Brown's bench. He was in Brett Brown's doghouse last year, and that's another story. But, you know, you don't even have these two guys. You know, you don't have them at all. So, that's going to be the tough one right there. Now, let's talk about, you know, I get it. Let's talk about how sometimes coaches don't want to disclose any information. And I, you know, the thing with me is with the 76ers, and I understand they got a tough job because, you know what, a lot of times agents have a huge influence on what goes on. You know, like Rich Paul and all these guys, they basically dictate a lot what goes on with their clients when it comes down to the Sixers. And post-game, you know, Brett Brown was asked a logical question about you know, Jimmy Butler being injured. The Sixers did not give an update. Well, I mean, Brown didn't give an update following the game. So he was evasive about the 29-year-old. And he said, I have yet to sit with the medical staff. I do not know. I do not know the details of it, nor do I know what's going to happen in relation to the longevity, how long he'll sit out. I'm sorry. Brown was also asked if he saw when Butler suffered the injury. He said he did not. I'm not really health at the moment on the Jimmy news, he said. You know, the only reason why, like again, I said earlier, I have a problem with that is because you're the head coach. And you can come out and say, look, y'all, I'm advised not to say anything. But when you say you don't know anything, it makes it seem crazy because you're the head coach. And this is your all-star. One of your all-stars. This is a guy who's your closer. This is a guy who, let's face it, right now might be the most important piece to you guys going far in the playoffs. And you come out and say you don't know. I mean, it just doesn't sound right. You know, it just doesn't sound right. And I get it. Sometimes you don't want to be the guy that's always giving the medical report updates or doing this and that. Well, unfortunately, when it was Sam Hinkie as the general manager, when it was Brian Colangelo, and now when it's Elton Brand, they always throw you out there. You always have to be the guy that's saying stuff. But when you come out and say you don't know, it's like, aren't you the coach? Aren't you supposed to know everything? So, you see, that's the problem, and that's the thing that makes it look bad. And I get it. Again, you don't want to make people upset. But when you come out and say you don't know, it sounds crazy. It really does. It sounds crazy, and it sounds bad. But, hey, you know what? You still got Embiid saying, still trying to walk things back. You had a coach saying, being evasive. It's just where we are right now with this team. And I'll be honest with you, we'll find out a lot more once Jimmy Butler comes back. If Ben Simmons still gets Joel Embiid's touches in the first quarter. Because let's face it, that's what it's all about. It's like you want to get the spacing right. But at the same time, you want to get Ben Simmons involved. Because you got to keep all three happy. But then again, it's hard to keep all three players happy nowadays. So, the Sixers got a tough job to do because I'm telling you, while he said what he said, let's not forget that Embiid wants to be the MVP, right? But look, before I go, I want to tell you guys about Action Heat. You know, Action Heat is a product that I wear, clothing line. You know, we got a special deal for our listeners to save 20% off your entire order. Just go to actionheat.com/lockedon to check out everything Action Heat has to offer. That's actionheat.com/lockedon. Or use the coupon code LOCKEDON at checkout to save 20%. Stay toasty warm while you enjoy all your outdoor activities this winter with Action Heat. And we thank them for sponsoring this podcast. I appreciate y'all. Have a great day.